got to be able to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the focus of the gospel. If Jesus Christ is not the focus, then it's not the right gospel. All right? And we read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost." I want you to know that you can't receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost if you don't have the Holy Ghost. So, amen. That means you're getting the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's like the gift that keeps giving it. And then it says, according to his own will. And if you want to know what God's will is, it's in the scriptures. Amen. Read the book. Now I want you to notice four things at least about this passage of text that I just read to you about our great salvation. That's the first thing. It is a great salvation. It is the only way to escape the judgment of sin. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all have an appointment with death. We don't know when it's going to happen. Although God could reveal that to people, he has. Now, so it is the only way of escape. In fact, it's the only gospel. There may be others, but they're not the true gospel. How do you know whether you got the right gospel? Well, this says it first began to be spoken by the Lord himself. You know, he spoke the gospel to Nicodemus, who come and acknowledged that Jesus was from God, that he believed in him, but he said, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. Another thing you need to notice is those that heard it confirmed the gospel. Isn't that great? If you believe the gospel, your life is a witness of the reality of that gospel. Jesus has made us witnesses. We confirm that the gospel works by the life that we live and our obedience to the Lord. It was also confirmed by God. God also bearing witness. That is, a witness could be in, it says, with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will, or according to the scriptures. In other words, if you believe the gospel, there ought to be a confirmation from God. And finally, there is a warning here that it must not be neglected. says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God help us if we neglect our health and let our bodies go. God help us if we neglect our business and let it fall apart. God help us if we neglect our children and let them go without. But who will help us if we neglect the salvation that God Himself brought to us? I think that some people may neglect this salvation because they believed on Jesus and somebody told them that's all they need to do. And the Bible does say, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer when he asked what he must do to be saved. But see, the people that tell people that, they neglect to tell them that right after he said that, he said it went out immediately at midnight and was baptized. Oh, they forgot to tell him that. It may be a neglect or it may be deliberately, but it's our responsibility. How shall we escape if we neglect? So God has given us the responsibility. Amen. So what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? Now, if we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that's where we find that we can believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. If we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But folks, neglect to give you the rest of the scriptures. If we move to verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You not only have to believe on the Lord Jesus, but you have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. His name. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. His name means salvation. When we neglect to call upon Jesus, we are neglecting a great salvation. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So you've got to believe before you call. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You've got to hear the gospel. Amen. It says it was confirmed by those who heard. Amen. And it was spoken by the Lord Himself. That is, this salvation is something you hear, it is something that is spoken, and it is something that is confirmed. How shall they believe in whom? Him of whom they have not heard? We hear the Word of God and we believe the Word of God. And how shall we hear without a preacher? Someone has got to be speaking that Word. Verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? There are some that have not been sent. There are some that preach that have not been sent by God. How shall we know who to hear, who to listen to? And it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, I suppose we could check their feet. if they've got beautiful feet, then they must be the right preacher. I heard one preacher say that. I said, boy, I said, then I'd have to be a false prophet if they looked at my feet. Thank Cookie over here washed my feet in our last foot washing. They wasn't that great. They didn't look beautiful, did they? Praise the Lord. So we got to have a preacher. We got to have a message. We got to have, amen, faith and all that stuff. But it says, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Amen. To believe is to obey. I like to use the analogy that if the church is on fire, and I tell you the church is on fire, if you believe it, you're going to act upon what you heard, and you're going to leave the church. Amen? You're going to escape the fire, not because you heard it, but because you heard it, believed it, and acted upon it. Amen? Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? To believe is more than just to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. Belief involves more than that. We just can't acknowledge the fact. We must obey the gospel. If it's not obeyed, so when I say, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved, what does that mean to you? I'm not giving you the whole gospel if I don't tell you what you need to do. What you need to do. They said on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them. Acts 2:38. To repent. And to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must believe also. Not only believe and act upon what you believe, but you must also believe according to the Scriptures. I like to explain faith sometimes, as some of the folks that lived up in Michigan there, amen, up in the colder climates, they've seen Lake Michigan and some of these lakes freeze over, and they know that the ice is thick enough that you could drive a Sherman tank out on those things. And people often do. They go ice fishing and stuff like that. Now, folks, Fort Loudoun Lake has iced over before too, but I'm not going to drive my truck out on it. Why? Because I don't believe the ice is thick enough. What you put your faith in must be able to support what you're saying. When we pray for healing, we're putting our faith in the Word of God that says, thou shalt be healed, that Jesus sent his Word and healed us, and we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who's never failed me yet.
Amen.
You must believe according to the Scriptures. John 7, verse 38 says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We sing a song, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I should have sung that today. Makes the blind to see, the lame to walk. Amen. I got that river. Do you have that river of life flowing out of you? Because this is a promise to those that believe on Jesus as the Scripture has said. But what does it mean to have that river of living water flowing out? Well, in verse 39, in parentheses, that's what you do when you want to explain something. You put it in parentheses. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit. In other words, that river is the Spirit flowing out of us.
Amen.
Amen. Which they that believe on him should receive. In other words, you should receive the Holy Ghost if you believe on Jesus. And then he says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And what he's saying there is he had not died yet on the cross. Some people try to apply the New Testament in places where it doesn't belong. Even though the New Testament in our book, in our Bibles, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the majority of what was written in there was in the Old Testament. It was under the dispensation of the law, and the New Testament, the dispensation of grace, did not begin until the birth of the church of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, some 40 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. As we know, he went around and preached and appeared to people for 40 days. It was just not a specter they saw. The Bible says it was by many infallible proofs. Infallible means you can't deal with that. There's just too much evidence. So if you believe as the Scripture has said, you should receive the Holy Ghost. And we talk a lot about that. Now remember our text in Hebrews 2 verse 4. Our passage, a focus test. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. In other words, his own will is according to the Scriptures, and he's giving people the Holy Ghost, and you can't have the gifts of the Holy Ghost without having the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I said you can't have the gifts of the Holy Ghost without having the gift of the Holy Ghost, and some people confuse the two. In other words, there's a witness or a confirmation from God when a person believes and receives the Holy Ghost. That is the witness. And when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, there's a evidence or witness that it is God, that it is the Holy Ghost, and that is speaking in tongues, which we will discuss in future lessons. It's your responsibility to make sure that what you believe is as the Scripture has said. Now, I can't open your understanding. And I believe that what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching in this lesson, these lessons that I'm going to be going through, must come through revelation from God. When Peter was asked who Jesus was, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but the Father which is in heaven. In other words, he got a revelation from God about who Jesus was. And then Jesus said, upon this I'll build my church. And the gate upon this revelation that Jesus is God, I'll build my church. If your church isn't preaching that Jesus is God, they're not preaching what God wants preached. I believe almost all churches believe that Jesus is God, but they're a little confused. So we're going to try to remove some of that confusion today. But I can't give that to you. I can't give you a revelation. What I can do is take you through the Scriptures and show you the Scriptures, not my thoughts, but the Scriptures. See, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. Because it is through reading the Word of God that God brings revelation.
Amen.
About who He is. Jesus, or Peter, sat and listened to Jesus talk. And that's how he knew. When Jesus resurrected, after he was killed and buried, he was walking on the road toward Emmaus, and he ran into two disciples. They were disciples of Jesus, and they were talking and they were sad. And Jesus said, "Where you going? Where you been?" So on, you know, meeting, how you doing, brothers, whatever. The Bible says they didn't recognize him. It says their eyes were beholden that they could not know who he was. And as they walked and talked, they said, "We had been here, and they killed the man we serve, that we are his disciples, and we had believed that he would be the one that would bring, straighten out everything and save us and all that. And Jesus basically was cheering him up, and he began to open the scriptures to him. He began to talk about the scriptures. He began with Moses in the Old Testament, began to explain who he was. They still didn't understand him. That was about 7 miles. Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So it would have taken them about 2 hours to get there. And I thought, well, if I had a message that took that long, most people would fall asleep. That's why I'm breaking this into three different messages. So I don't weary you of the scriptures. My intent is to not put you to sleep, but I want you to get a revelation through reading of the scriptures. And as they walked that 2 hours, Jesus talked the whole time, and they listened intently to him. But they didn't get a revelation. And then as they had arrived to their house, they were going to go in, and Jesus was going to go on and continue walking. But the Bible says they constrained him to come in and eat with them. Sometimes you've got to have some fellowship with God if you want to get that revelation. You've got to invite Him in to your heart. You can't just let Him pass by. You see, they felt that there was something there that He was saying that they just wasn't getting a hold of. So they constrained Him. That means they almost pressured Him, twisted His arm to come in and eat with them. And I want to read what it says. "And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us?" By the way, they wouldn't get into revelation, but their heart was burning. "And while He opened to us the scriptures." Folks, I can't give you that revelation, but I can open the scriptures. And you can read it, because it is from the very Word of God Himself.
That's right.
And He will give you. I pray that God will give you a revelation. As I cover the three important truths about this great salvation. Number one is you need to know God. If you don't know God, you're not going to find salvation. If you don't know God, that is who He is. You've got to have a revelation. There's many people are walking with Jesus, but they don't. Their eyes are beholden. They do not see Him for who He is. There are many people that pray to Jesus, but they don't know Him like they ought to. You've got to have that revelation. You need to know the gospel. Things you need to know about the gospel. It's more than just believing on the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus. And finally, I want you to understand the walk that you have. When you have obeyed the gospel, the Bible says, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, that you rise to walk in newness of life. You don't get to heaven once you just complete the gospel steps. Because one of the steps says you rise to walk in newness of life. And that life you must live faithfully until Jesus comes or you die. I want to tell you how to walk. Because there's a lot of people trying to tell you how to live. I want to tell you from Scripture how you ought to walk. Hi, I'm Pastor Tom Stinnett. You've just completed the introduction to understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it does require a revelation from God in order to understand the gospel and to understand God Himself. Because knowing God is essential to understanding the gospel. So continue to watch as we go into part one, Knowing God.